Hey, if you would, please open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. I thought it was going to get cool enough to where I could wear my jacket again, but I was about to pass out from heat exhaustion if I didn't take that thing off. So I hope you'll forgive. 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll begin, we'll just read this again. We've read it several times, but we're going to highlight another section of this. 2 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power. All right, so far we've seen right there, Jesus is Savior, verse number one. He is Lord, verse number two, and he is God, verse number three. According as his, that's Jesus, divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning as we look into this topic of the fact that you have given us everything we need to live holy lives, even on this wicked world, Lord, we pray that you will help us to take advantage of the things that you have freely given us for that purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so if verse number 3 is true, and I believe it is, if verse 3 is true, then there is nothing that I need to live the Christian life as God intends that it be lived that was not given to me by my Savior when he saved me. If verse 3 is true, and I believe it is, there is nothing that you need to live a godly life in this world that was not given to you by your Savior when he saved you. Now that's what this verse says. He has given, past tense, he has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now obviously the good news is that is that verse number 4, having escaped the corruption, I can stay in that realm of freedom and liberty. The good news is that having been delivered from the lusts of the world, I can stay in that state of deliverance from lusts and from the world. That's the good news. The bad news is there is absolutely no excuse for any saved man or any saved woman to be living short of victory in the Christian life. Okay, now look, I didn't say everybody was living in total victory. I said if we're saved and we're not living a godly life, if we're saved and we're not living a Christian life, the only reason that is acceptable, the only reason that is proper, is that we chose not to live godly due to a lack of interest. People say, well, yeah, but the temptation was just too great. That's not true. Well, you know, something came up, I just couldn't help it. That's not true. Well, you know, I prayed and the Lord didn't give me a way to escape. That's not true, or you make the Lord a liar. He has already given us everything that pertains to life and everything that pertains to godliness. So that if I am not godly, and if my life is not Christ-like, it's because I did not appropriate what was given to me for the purpose of living that godly life. It was there, I just didn't apply it. It's there, but I didn't put it into practice. It's there, I didn't make use of it. And this is where, again, religion, be it non-Christian or Protestant or Catholic or whatever religion it is, this is where religion so cheats people. We are taught that, okay, you're saved, but now you need to go beg from the Holy Spirit. Or you're saved, but you need to go beg for some kind of second blessing. Or you're saved, yes, but you need to go beg God for some kind of work of grace. Or you're saved, but you need to go beg God for some sign or some outpouring of this or that. And all of that is a denial of the fullness provided for us in our salvation. I don't have to go back and beg God for what He didn't give me. He gave it already. He gave it all to me right up front at the day of my salvation. I don't, what I need to do is go to God and beg for deliverance from my self-centered, self-loving, self-occupied life and get wrapped up in Jesus Christ. I mean, look, brother, look, sister, your problem is not that this world has so many tricks and so many deceptions and that Satan is doing this and the devil is doing that. No, the problem is that I choose to put the lust of my flesh ahead of the desires of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. That's what the Scripture says, and that's exactly what it comes down to. It's what it is. I mean, you could talk about Jesus Christ instead of talking about yourself all the time. You could talk about the Word of God instead of talking about yourself all the time. You could ask how somebody else was doing. You could ask whether somebody else had a prayer need. You could ask how you could be a blessing to somebody else. You don't have to talk about you every time you speak. But it's a choice that we make. You know, I want this conversation to be about me. I want this prayer meeting to be about me. I want this church service to be about me. I want this life to be about me. And so, while all of this spiritual blessing and opportunity and power and grace is available, it sits boxed up, stored away for a time when we might really need it. But in the meantime, you know, I just want everything to keep being about me. You know, you coming to church on Friday? Well, I don't know if I really want to. It's not about you. Are you going to witness this week? Well, I don't know if I'm going to have an opportunity. I don't know if I'm going to feel like it. I don't know if God's going to open a door for me. Me. It's not about you. Are you getting along with that person? Are you getting along with him or her? Well, the way I feel, it's not about you. But here it sits. Everything I need to be clean. Everything I need to be pure. Everything I need to be righteous. Everything I need to be loving. Everything I need to be bold for Jesus. Everything I need to be humble toward my fellow man. Everything I need to be just and upright. It's all there. It's available. But I leave those packages sealed, unopened. I leave those boxes in a closet somewhere. Forget about them, you know, because what I'm interested in right now would be, well, it would be inconvenienced by the holiness and the righteousness and the purity and the goodness that's found in those boxes. I want God to take me to heaven when I'm done living after the flesh. I do not want what God could do in my life right now, because I'm just not all that interested. I mean, come on, that's what it is. That's what it says. I could have a good prayer life, but that would inconvenience me. I could know the Bible better, but that, you know, I'd rather watch the junk on TV and read the junk in the magazines and the fiction books, and then I can just come and hear what God told Brother Bob this week. Come on. The truth of the matter is, we devote ourselves to what we are interested in. And the hindrance to our spiritual life, it's not that there is a devil, you know, out there in the world somewhere. It's not that there's a New Age movement. It's not that there's a homosexual parade in our hometown. It's not that the wrong guy got elected as president. But look, that's not a hindrance to any of us. It's not affecting us. What hinders me at 8 o'clock Saturday morning is my lack of interest in spiritual things. What hinders me at 9 o'clock Sunday night is that the lust of my flesh is often more important to me than the desires of the Holy Spirit. I mean, come on, let's just be fair about it. How about this? The missionary, he gets out there on the field. This is an example. He gets out there on the field, wherever it might be. He's got his Bible in his hand. He's got a container full of stuff that he shipped over from his home country. And that container full of stuff doesn't do any good at all sitting there locked up on the dock. All right? And so he's going to say, oh, I wish I had some Bibles to give out. Well, they're in the container. Yeah, I know. I wish I had some clothes for my wife and my family. Well, you shipped them over in that container. Yeah, I know. I mean, look, if you want the stuff, go get it. It's there. It's sitting there. It's paid for. It's delivered. It's yours. All you've got to do is take it out of the container and make use of it. Well, I sure wish I could be close to the Lord. Really? This verse says that you can be. I sure wish I had a better Christian life. Really? You can. It's there. Look, that's great news. What I need to learn, God gave it to me in the Bible. What I need to be a friend to others, God gave it to me. What I need to be a witness for Jesus Christ, God gave that to me. What I need to stop committing that sin or yielding to that habit, it's mine. God already gave it to me. I just have to want the Lord's blessing as bad as I want that cigarette or whatever it is that's got a hold of you. It's there. The opportunity is there. Now let's look at some things. There's more scriptures than just this one that indicates that all that we need is available. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. This is one of those verses we kind of read very hastily, very without giving it the proper thought and the proper context. Verse number 17, but we're going to read the context because it's important. Normally we don't read the context, we just quote verse 17. Let's start in verse 14, 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. That is, it puts us in a narrow place where our options are all but eliminated. Our options are just as broad as they used to be, just as available as they used to be, because we're still allowed by law to do everything we used to do that was legal. You know, the Bible does say, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. Those options are still as broad, but the love of Christ gave us the option not to do things once we learn that those things are harmful or sinful or just plain vain. All right? The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, see, there's that connection. This verse 17 is connected to what we just read. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now that 17th verse, it's just thrown around like it means anything people want it to mean. But think about it. When you got saved, you were 6'1". When you got up from praying and asking the Lord to save you, you were still 6'1". All right? All things become new cannot mean every single thing in your life is not what it used to be. Now look at the context. Verse number 15. If you're not saved, you live unto yourself. Verse 15, if you are saved, you are now able to live for Jesus and not for you. You are a new creature in that sense. You now have the opportunity and the possibility to not live for yourself in your home, not live for yourself in your church, not live for yourself on your job. You can live for others. You can live for Christ. It doesn't all have to be about you. You've got new options open to you now. You're a new being, this new creature. Well, praise God, you know, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. That's me. Okay, if that's you, then what control does Jesus Christ have on your life, on your attitude? What control does Jesus Christ have on your emotions? What power does Jesus Christ have over your flesh and your habits and your vices and your lusts? What part does Jesus Christ play in your conversation? See, if you're not saved, the answer is no part. No part. Because then it's all about you. But if you're saved, it can be all about Jesus and all about others. Or you can choose. You can still choose to let it keep being all about you and stay miserable and unhappy and angry and full of excuses and bound up and habitually failing. But you don't have to live that way. You're a new creature. It can now be about Jesus. It can now be about Jesus' people. It can now be about reaching the lost. It doesn't have to be about you. And that's the context. Brand new life for the Lord. Brand new life, how the Lord wants me to live towards others. Old life, me. Me. Period. Well, I feel. Well, I think. Well, the way I see it. Well, you did to me. Well, you know what she did to me. Well, God did this to me. It's not about you. It's about the Lord. I mean, look, the unsaved are unhappy with God for the same reason that many saved people are unhappy with God. They think God is supposed to live for them. The Bible says we are supposed to live for Him. If people are unhappy with the Lord, it's because they think He's supposed to serve them. The people that are enjoying the Lord, it's because they know they're supposed to serve Him. The people who are bitter with God and who question God and fight with God and curse God and oppose God, it's because they think God is supposed to do what they want Him to do. The people who are thrilled and happy and who are enjoying their Christian life, it's because they think they are supposed to do what God wants them to do. Now, it's possible for the Lord to change, to revolutionize your entire approach to life. Or it's possible for you to get saved, but just keep on living the way you've always lived. And that's not necessarily that talking about a drunkard or a drug addict or a wife beater or a kidnapper, you know, those terrible things, but just self-centered, self-interested, self-loving, self-concerned. You know, but there's power to get beyond that. All right, we're in 2 Corinthians, so let's go to chapter 9 while we're in the neighborhood. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Second Corinthians 9:1. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. All right, just showing you the context here, ministering to the saints. Verse number 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. All right, so look, the context here is about giving up your money so that others can know Jesus, okay? Giving up your money so that missionaries can reach out with the gospel around the world. Now, do you know what that requires for you to do that? That requires you to be okay with somebody else enjoying your money and you not getting to enjoy it. Okay? Now look, I'm not going to be making an appeal for you to give today. I don't have my hand on your wallet this morning. We're just looking at a principle here in the Bible. Okay? I mean, come on. Why don't you try this sometime? Go down to the mall. There's plenty of them here in Kuwait. Go to a mall. Stand at the entrance of that mall. And as people come in, just say, hey, everybody, would you give maybe 10% of what you've got so that I can shop here? You would stand there all day, and they're not going to do it. not one fill. And yet, think about this. Hundreds and thousands of people went to church this week and gladly gave up 10% of all that they had so that somebody else could spend it. Right? And now, you think about that. That is a different way of living. That's a different way of thinking. It's not about the money. It's about the heart attitude. It's not about the money. It's about looking at life differently than you used to look at life. All right? So watch what he says in the same context about giving and ministering to others in verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. So look what he says. I want you to be gracious, and I've given you sufficient grace to do that. I want you to love others, and I've given you sufficient love to do that. I want you to care about others, and I've given you sufficient care to do that. I mean, look, people say, well, you know, I see some people, and they're always out wanting to tell people about the Lord all the time, you know, and I just really don't think I'm that kind of person. You could be. Well, I see some people, and they just love giving, and they're concerned about missions, and their family always reads missionary letters, and, well, we're just not that kind of a family. You could be. You could be. I see some people when there's work at church, they're always there to do it, and there's something that needs to be done, they're always the ones to do it, and when there's an opportunity to do something, they're always signing up. And well, I just don't see why people are so fanatical. You could. It could make perfect sense to you. God did not give some people enough grace to be gracious. He gave all saved people enough grace to be gracious. God didn't give some people enough love to be loving. He gave all saved people enough love to be loving. God didn't give just some Christians enough care to be caring. He gave all Christians enough care to be caring. He said, here's what I want you to do, and I've given you the sufficiency to enable you to get it done. Get it out of the closet, open it up, and use it. You know, people are strange. UPS comes, the delivery man. What is it, honey? I don't know. Why don't you open it? I will. When? Well, I don't know. Nobody does that. Nobody just throws a package down and ignores it like that. Special delivery, sign right here. All right, you sign it, bring it in. Wow, what's this? I don't know. Well, let's find out. No. Well, maybe it's that stuff we ordered. Yeah, it probably is. Well, but we need it. Well, yeah, I know. Well, let's open it. No, let's not open it. People are strange. There were some kids, and they had this thing they did every year where you get presents, and you'd put them under this tree. And one time these certain brothers and sisters, they got together and they said, hey, let's do something different this year. Let's just open one present a day, and we'll make it last a whole lot longer that way. That never happened. Never happened. Their thinking was, why open them all at once? Let's just put some away, and then we'll open one at the end of January, one at the end of February, one at the end of March, and we'll just make this thing last all year long. Never happened. Why is it that the only presents that we don't want to open are the ones that God sent to help us to live a godly Christian life? Why is it that the only deliveries we received, that we're just content to leave them right there in the box, are the good things that come down from heaven that would make our lives Christ-like? We don't do that with any other kind of presents, and these are the best kind there are. Do you have a bad attitude? Yeah, I have a bad attitude. So what? Well, the Lord will give you a good attitude. Yeah, I know that, but I don't want to hear it from you. Right? You go out door knocking. Hi, we're here to tell you about Jesus. I know Jesus. Get off my property. Look, he gave those people that said they have Jesus, he gave them the same thing that he gave you. They could have said, you're right. Let me go with you. Can I go with you? Knocking on doors. You go out there, stand along the beach or in Faw Hill giving out tracts. And sometimes you get people, they say, oh, you just keep that. I'm a Christian already. You can keep that. You say, well, why don't you stand here and help me give them out then? If you're like me, if you're a Christian, no. No thanks. What do you mean, no thanks? All you're doing is walking down the beach. You're just standing out on the sidewalk. You're just wasting time anyway. You're not doing anything important. If you're a Christian, why don't you just stand with the Christians? Well, I'm not one of you guys. You could be. I mean, come on, God didn't give some people the ability to live the Christian life, and other people, he cheated them. God didn't give some people the Holy Spirit, and other people, no Holy Spirit. Are you saved? Then you've got the Holy Spirit. You've just got to decide that you are going to start being interested in what matters and stop being interested in what does not matter. See, here's the way you ought to do things in your family. This is the way it should go. You ought to say, we'd like to be on that team, but we can't because we go to church. Instead of saying, well, we'd like to go to church, but we can't because we're on this certain team. So you've got to make a choice. That's what it is. We'd like to go to that outing because it sounds like a lot of fun. But it's on a church day, so I'm sorry, we can't go. Instead of saying, well, we'd like to have been in church, preacher, because we really like church, but and we really love the Lord, and there's nothing we'd really rather do than be at church, but we had a chance to go to this outing, you see. So you understand, I'm trying to show you, it's a choice that you make. It's a choice. And the Bible said that the Lord has enabled every saved person to say, no, I don't drink anymore. No, I don't do that anymore. No, I don't go there anymore. No, I don't listen to that anymore. No, I don't participate in that anymore. People always say, well, I wish I was that strong. Stop wishing and open the package. Stop wishing and decide in your heart of hearts that you want God more than you want the flesh. That you want right more than you want wrong. That you want good more than you want evil. Because it is available. It's there. You have it. Take it out of the box. You know, why don't you just decide to be a missionary, for example, and then challenge God to stop you if he doesn't want you to be one. He can stop you if he doesn't want that for you. You know, instead of sitting there daring God to make you go. Well, you know, if God had shown me, if God had provoked me, if God would send me, if God would make me, if God would show me a sign, if God would reveal to me, if God would, hey, listen, why don't you just flip that whole scenario around? Why don't you say instead, I'm going, and God Almighty is the only one that's going to be able to stop me. That's how we are. You don't hear people saying, well, if God makes me, I'll go to the concert. If God makes me, I'll go to the movie. If God makes me, I'll go to that restaurant. But, you know, if God doesn't show me a sign, well, then I'm just going to go to church. There's something you'll never hear. Isn't it amazing? God doesn't have to give you a sign for you to follow your flesh. God doesn't have to move on your heart for you to do what your flesh wants to do. God doesn't have to call you for you to go feed your face. I mean, come on, that's true, isn't it? Be honest. Before we were saved, if the flesh said do it, we just did it. Now that we're saved, the flesh still says do it. And guess what? We just do it, don't we? But when it comes to doing something for the Lord, it's well, you know, if I knew it was the perfect will of God, if God gave me peace about it, you know, I've prayed and I haven't really heard the voice of God. Stop with all that. I mean, why don't you just be honest and say, I don't want to. And God isn't big enough to make me. Be honest. I mean, come on, that's fair. Because you could witness just the same as you could talk about yourself. You could pray just as sure as you could read a newspaper. You could go to church just as sure as you could go to Avenues Mall. Right? There's a preacher, he said he had just finished an evening church service one night, and service was over. He was on his way home. He needed some groceries, so he stopped at Walmart. And when he got inside, he spotted one of his church members and thought, oh boy, he's gonna run and hide if he sees the preacher, and he wasn't at church tonight. But that man didn't run and hide. Instead, he rushed over and said, hey, good to see you, man. What's going on? And he said, I'd like to have been at the meeting tonight, but I've got a doctor's appointment in the morning, and I need to rest up. I need to rest up. Now, resting up wasn't possible sitting in a church pew. Sitting in a church pew? Are you all getting worn out sitting there today? But resting up was possible. Pushing a cart a mile and a half through Walmart looking for the three things that he wanted. People sometimes, they think the preacher is stupid. He can't figure things out, you know. Now, you know why he was at Walmart that night, even though he had a doctor's appointment the next day? Because he wanted to be. You know why he wasn't at church that night? Because he had a doctor's appointment the next day? because he didn't want to be. Come on, let's be fair about it. Sometimes you're really sick. Sometimes you are really in a bind. Sometimes you can't. And I understand that. But that's about 1 out of 1,000. The rest of the time it's just pure old choice. Just pure old doing what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. Amen. All right, let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Here's another one of those verses we love to quote as long as it applies to what we already wanted to do. Philippians 4:13. First, I'm going to read it to you like an independent Baptist. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things that I like to do through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things that I'm relatively comfortable doing through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things that require no self-denial through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things, as long as it's convenient for me, through Christ which strengtheneth me. Isn't that the way it is? No. Look at the glory of that verse. Does God want you to stop cussing? You can do it through Christ which strengtheneth you. Does God want you to stop cheating? You can do it through Christ which strengtheneth you. Does God want you to quit losing your temper? You can do it through Christ which strengtheneth you. We know God wants you to stop talking about yourself nonstop. Well, you can do it through Christ which strengtheneth you. Does God want you to witness? You can do it through Christ which strengtheneth you. Does God want you to have joy? Does God want you to have peace? Does God want you to be long-suffering? Does God want you to be gracious? Does God want you to be kind? Well, then stop with the excuses, because you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. If you choose to open the package of provision instead of sitting with your flesh, pretending that you don't have what you need to do all things. That's how it goes. Forgive me if I don't understand some things. But there are some things I don't understand. I don't understand, for example, in the States, you go driving down the road, you see people standing out there, usually wearing a costume in the hot, on a hot afternoon, holding a sign. You see a guy who's being paid to hold a sign that says Harry's Sandwich Shop open. He's getting paid to hold a sign that says Harry's Sandwich Shop open. All right, you keep driving down the road, go about a mile down the road, and there's another guy standing there with a sign. And his sign says, I'm hungry. Give me money. Now, if you can hold that sign, couldn't you go hold the other sign and get a salary instead of begging people for money like that? You know what the problem is? There's opportunity, but it's just a lack of desire. Lack of desire. Well, I'd like to go out witnessing with you guys, but, you know, that giving tracts to complete strangers, I don't know. But you can go to the store, you can go get fast food, you can go buy gas, you can go to the bank, you can pass pieces of paper, right? You pass pieces of paper every day, you know, to complete strangers. And you don't have any trouble communicating with those people. Oh, how much? Okay, here. And you hand them a pretty, well, this is an old 1KD note. And it's not so pretty anymore. But the new ones are pretty, aren't they? But the thing is, you know, why can I give total strangers this piece of paper and not the other? Because, well, I want a loaf of bread, and I want a bottle of milk. Why can't I give a total stranger a piece of paper about Jesus? Because I'm just not all that interested in that person getting saved. It's not that I can't hand somebody a piece of paper. I do it every single day. It just depends on what piece of paper and who benefits. If I benefit, I hand the piece of paper. If the Lord benefits, or if another person benefits, I got something to do. You know, I'm not called. It's not my ministry. The Lord has directed me in other areas. You mean the ones that you want to do, that you're comfortable doing, that didn't require you to open a package of grace or love or courage or boldness or compassion. Look, it's there. It's there. It's yours. You know what you could do? Here's an idea for some parents. Is there a box called Truth? Sure is. Okay? Is there a box called Truth? Is there a box called Right? Then you know what you could do? You could open that box and say, kids, there's nobody living at the North Pole. And if there was, they sure would not be wasting their time coming to our house here in Kuwait in the sandstorm. They'd go to some place like Bermuda and have a vacation. They'd go to Tahiti, some warm tropical place on a beach, and have some drinks, have a good time. Kids, reindeer don't fly. It's just not true. But I'll tell you what is true, kids. Jesus Christ, God's own Son, died for your sins. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Let's get excited about Jesus instead of some guy in a red flannel suit. Amen. There's an idea for you. Let me open another can of truth here. Sometimes on the domestic flights in the United States, the flight attendant will get on the intercom and update the passengers on the basketball score if your state team is playing a game while you're flying. And they'll say, presently we're ahead 85-78 in the third period. And then later on they'll come on and say, hey, guess what, passengers? Final score. We won! We won! And everybody cheers and shouts and says, woohoo! We won! We won! What do you mean, we won? You didn't win. You were sitting in an airplane 30,000 feet up in the air. You're not on the team. You're not even the water boy. You didn't win. But you know something? If a guy that isn't on the team, who couldn't even be on the team if he wanted to, and was never on the team, if he could stand up and say, I won, I'm on the team, surely surely somebody who is washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, who is part of Jesus Christ, is on the team, is a member of the Lord's body, does have eternal life through Jesus Christ, surely they can say, "We won!" You could stand up and say, "I'm saved!" But you know why you won't do that? Because you don't want to. You know why we witness? Because we want to. You know why we quote scripture on our Facebook page instead of telling people what we had for breakfast? Because we want to. You know why we go to a church that preaches the Bible? Because we want to. It's a matter of want to. That's what it is. You see somebody, they get saved in the church. They get baptized. They start growing in the Lord. They start witnessing, inviting people to church. They're on fire for God. They're excited about the things of God. And then he gets a girlfriend. And she doesn't like it. Well, what are you going to do? Devote your life to the one who shed his blood to save you from hellfire? Or turn your back on him because your girlfriend doesn't like it? To me, that's what I call a no-brainer, right? It doesn't require a lot of thought, doesn't require a whole bunch of intelligence. But guess what? 9 times out of 10, they will go with the girlfriend. And then you're not going to get them back in the church, because now they're uncomfortable identifying themselves with Jesus Christ. They'll identify themselves with something like a sports team. They'll even put a flag out front with their team name on it, you know, right there in their front yard, so that the whole world can know, "That's my team. I'm part of them. That's who I am." They'll sit in front of the TV and say, "We won! We won!" But they won't tell anybody that they're on Team Jesus anymore. Well, you know what? I don't care. I don't care if the whole world knows Jesus is my Savior. That is who I am, a Christian who belongs to Jesus Christ. Well, let's look at some more scriptures here. How about Romans chapter 8? Just a couple more stops here. Romans chapter number 8. God has given us everything we need to live the Christian life. We have it. Are we using it? The only thing we've got to provide ourselves is the want to. Romans 8, verse 32. Well, let's start at verse 31. "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Look at verse 37. "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Sir, are you married? You can be a good husband. It's provided in your salvation. You can be a loving husband. It's provided in your salvation. Sir, do you have children? You can be a great father. Well, you know, I wasn't raised right, and my dad, he was a terrible parent, and you don't know about my childhood. Doesn't matter. Does not matter. It's provided for you in your salvation, not in your upbringing. You can be more than a conqueror. Everything you need to overcome, all that would hinder you from being a loving husband and a gracious father, it's yours in your salvation. That's right. Let me tell you a true story. There was a young couple who were at their wedding rehearsal, and the preacher told the groom, tomorrow, at this point in the ceremony, you will get to kiss the bride. And when he said that, he noticed that the bride's face turned three shades of red, because that statement made her nervous, made her embarrassed or something. So her mother told the preacher, well, she's nervous because that'll be the first time she's ever kissed a boy. Now, you mean with all those movies out there, you mean with all those TV shows out there, you mean with all that internet out there, you mean with all those magazines out there, you mean with all that rock and roll and country and western music, you mean with all that stuff that's out there in this wicked world, a girl can make it to the altar clean and pure and right if she wants to. If she wants to. God has enough "don't you touch me" to get you there. God has enough "I don't do test runs" to get you there. God has enough "if you're not going to pay my way through life, get your hands off me, boy." God has enough of that. If you want that, if you want it, it's there, it's yours. Young man, there's pornography on the billboards, isn't there? You can watch the road. There's pornography on the magazine rack. You can keep your eyes on the bubblegum rack, can't you? There's pornography walking down the street. You can keep your eyeballs in your head. They don't have to go wherever they want to go. Amen. You can get through this life clean if you want to be clean. God has got enough clean for you. You can get through this life holy if you want to. God has got enough holy for you. You've just got to want God's blessing as bad as that old flesh wants to defile you. And if you want it, you can have it. You can preach in front of any bar in the world and never fall through that doorway if you don't want what's in there. And God's got enough "oh no" to keep you out of there. If you want it, you can be more than a conqueror. You can be more than a conqueror. Sister, I know what they're telling you. You think I don't know? Again, give the preacher some credit sometime. Why? I mean, if I even get anywhere near "wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands," I get corrected about what I was going to say before I even say it. Well, that's not what it means. Oh, it is what it means. If that wasn't what it meant, you wouldn't be so upset about it. You know that it means what it means. You know it means what it says. Well, yeah, but I looked it up in the Greek. No, you didn't. You just heard Joyce Meyer say it one day. And she just heard Marilyn Hickey say it. And you know what? Why do I bring this up? Because God has got enough grace for you to handle that triumphantly if you want God's grace. Amen. And you know, if it upsets you, I shouldn't be the one to blame. And if you like it, I shouldn't be the one to get credit because I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You know something? God lets you sing. God lets you witness. God lets you pray. God lets you raise children. God lets you give out tracts. God lets you train the young. God lets you shape and direct the future of a nation. God lets you do a million things for Jesus Christ. And He puts one thing in the Bible and He says, you can't do this in the New Testament church. And you would have thought that He said, don't eat that fruit. You'd have thought He said, you can eat of every fruit of the garden, but not that one. Eve could have had anything in Eden, but she's unhappy with God because she couldn't have that one tree. And here's the whole Bible, the whole Bible. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Pray without ceasing. Care for the widows. Care for the fatherless. Strengthen the weak. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Honor thy father and mother. So much that God's given you in His Bible, all of that. And then the Bible says, let your women keep silent in the church. It's not permitted unto them to teach. Why can't I have that tree? Why can't I have that fruit? Why do you only want the one thing that you can't have instead of being excited about the other million things that you do have? It's the flesh. It's the flesh. Here's a man. He's got a wife. She loves him. She cares for him. She cooks for him. She's faithful to him. She cleans his dirty clothes. She puts up with his manners. She'll spend her whole life with him. She'll love him when he's unlovable. She'll love him when he's not the macho man he used to be. Amen. There she is. She loves him when he has hair, plural. And she'll love him when he has hair, singular, one piece. And there she is. And after all that, this fella, in his heart, he starts looking at some piece of trash woman. You say, how do you know she's a piece of trash woman? Because she wouldn't be trying to entice a married man if she wasn't a piece of trash. And he starts looking at her and she says, oh, you look good today. She's lying. You know she's lying. How do you know? Because of all the money you've been spending trying to make yourself not look so bad. You're looking good today. You sure are smart. Yeah, I've pretty much mastered the use of this shovel after 28 years. You sure are smart. I've never seen a man move a box like you move a box. Oh, really? Do you think so? Well, could you help me with this one? It's heavy. Come close. You know what? You could say no to that. You could ignore that. You could recognize that for the fool's errand that it is, if you wanted to. God has got enough Holy Ghost sense and power for you to stay true to your wife every day of your life. Not only in your deeds, but also in your thoughts. It's there if you want it. We're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And yes, there's a kid in your school, and he's got dope. Oh, not mine. I go to a Christian school. There's a kid in your school, and he's got dope. There are cigarettes where you go to school. There's alcohol where you go to school. There are dirty pictures where you go to school. There are porno sites on the internet where you go to school. They're arresting sickos somewhere where you live. And then you get on Facebook with this stranger, complete stranger, and you say, well, I'm cute. My mom doesn't watch me, and Dad's gone every third Friday afternoon, so we can kind of hang out at the house that day and listen to music. You don't know who you're talking to. Not a good idea. Why don't you just send that out on the World Wide Web and see what you get? I mean, you know something? You can be more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. You don't have to get involved in any of that stuff. You can be righteous and honest and strong and godly and decent and respectable. Young man, through Jesus Christ, you could smile at your mother instead of giving her that dirty look. You know, the mother who cooks your three meals a day, cleans your dirty underwear. I don't have any clothes, Mom. Tough. Remember when you mouthed off at me yesterday? Yeah. Well, I'm not feeding you anymore. Well, you have to. I don't have to do nothing. Through Jesus Christ, young man, you can be respectful. You can be polite. You can be cheerful. You can be helpful. You can be a blessing. Through Jesus Christ, it is yours. You just got to open those boxes. It's available. All right, look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2. First John chapter 2, verse number 20. 2:20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. All right, again, and we've got to keep this thing in its context. You don't get saved and suddenly you understand nuclear physics. You understand that, don't you? Anybody understand nuclear physics here when you got saved? All right, you don't get saved and suddenly you can speak Arabic. I wish that was true, but what's the context? The context is being holy. The context is being Christ-like. Okay, so listen, is there not something in your flesh, in your nature, that instinctively knows how to deceive and how to mislead, and how to put yourself in the best light when you talk about yourself, and how to try to manipulate to get your own way? Isn't there just something in you by nature that wants to talk about yourself and wants to put other people down and wants to make you the one who's always right and the other person is always of less importance? Come on. You didn't have to take a class on how to sin. It came from Adam by birth. You know how to sin. You have that knowledge naturally. But the Bible says when you got a new birth, the Holy Spirit gave you a knowledge of how to do right. You know certain things are not correct. You know certain things are not the will of God. You know certain things are to be avoided. You know certain things you ought to be participating in those things. And that's what he says. So a saved person, unlike a lost person who just knows how to do wrong and can't figure out how to do right, a saved person knows how to do right now and still knows how to do wrong. The knowledge for flesh to be in control, it's already there. The knowledge for the spirit to be in control, it's there now for the saved person. And that's why if you yield yourself to the flesh, the flesh takes over. Because you know how to do it. You already know how to do it. And that's why if you yield yourself to the Spirit, zoom, the Spirit takes over. Why? The Holy Spirit knows how to do right. You have the ability. You just have to be willing. You have the information. You just have to be willing. You've heard verses preached from the Word of God, but you don't remember them. But if you wanted them and needed them, you ever found out that you can recall those verses that you didn't even know you knew? Because you heard them before. All right? I've had that happen. Come on, you know. It's happened to you. Haven't you ever had some temptation cross your mind and have the Holy Spirit immediately raise the banner of a Bible verse right before your mind's eye? And you say, that says to you, get your mind off of that dirty thing. Praise the Lord. Sister, haven't you started down some direction, and without any conscious effort on your part, the Holy Spirit says, excuse me, and brings that a certain scripture to your mind? Praise God. There's a knowledge of how to do the wrong thing. It comes from Adam, the old nature. But there's a knowledge of how to do the right thing that comes from the Holy Spirit, the new nature. So what are we saying this morning? There's plenty of evidence in this New Testament that living this Christian life is not so much about getting an education as it is about humbling ourselves and yielding to the Lord. It's not so much about this long, progressive spirituality as it is about this lifelong crucifying of the flesh and putting down the old man, so that what God has already provided, we appropriate it. We make use of it in our life. Isn't that an interesting thing? See, we've got this idea that I got saved and all this stuff that I need to live the Christian life, it's out there. I just need to go out there and find it somewhere. God gave it to you. Read the Word. Pray. Fellowship. Sit under the preaching of the Word. Get off self and let the Lord show you that He's already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Let Him make you what He can make you, what He wants to make you. He'll give you life, and life more abundant. You know, it's an interesting thing, and I'll finish with this. In the Gospels, before Jesus rises triumphant over the grave, you read about Satan taking control of people's lives and destroying those lives as an act of his will, right? Throwing themselves in the fire, cutting themselves, living in the tombs, foaming at the mouth, things like that. But after Jesus rises from the dead, you don't read of any of those types of events not one. What you read about after Jesus rises from the dead is, don't be deceived, don't be deceived, don't be deceived, don't be deceived, don't be deceived. You know why? Satan can't control you, but you can be tricked into thinking that you can't have victory. Well, I just can't stop, or I just don't know how to stop, or I just couldn't help myself, or I just don't have the power. No, you're deceived. He can't throw you in the fire. He can't make you cut yourself. He can't make you roll around on the ground and cut yourself. You're alive in Jesus Christ. Stop signing up for defeat. Start walking in victory. It's there. It's ours. It's available. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. You got to open those things up. Get the dust off of those things. Enjoy them. Amen. You know, at Christmas time, people say it's about giving. It's not about receiving. You've all probably heard that, right? And when you tell someone, oh, we're not going to do the Christmas thing anymore, they say, oh, that's okay, because it's about giving. It's not about receiving. And so one time they're going to give you something, and if you don't give them something next year, it's not about giving anymore. It's only about giving if we're both giving. That's what they mean. And then the next year, you're just going to get a card, and if you don't return a card, the year after that, you're not going to get anything. But you know what? I say that because the Lord's not like that. He gives, and He gives, and He gives, and He gives, and He gives. And if you don't give anything back, He gives, and He gives, and He gives, and He gives, and He gives. And if you don't even acknowledge Him, He gives, and He gives, and He gives, and He gives. Why? He wants you to have all that you need to be victorious. It's provided in your salvation. So let's stop living as though we don't have what we need, and just get self out of the way, and let the Lord control us, and know the full blessing of the Christian life. We can do that thanks to the Lord and what He's given us. Would you stand, and we'll pray, and then we'll sing a hymn and take a break. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for revealing to us this morning that You have already given us everything that is needed for us to live the proper Christian life, lives that serve others, lives that are not self-centered but are always looking out for others, lives that want to serve You, Lord, and not and discontinue serving ourselves. Lord, thank You for all that was provided in our salvation. Help us, Lord, not to neglect those things. Help us, Lord, to just get rid of every excuse that we've ever thought of, and just take the provisions You've given us and do what we know is right, do what we know is good, do what we know will help somebody, especially if it means bringing someone to salvation by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.